As we come this morning, truly we are gathered in His name to worship Him. On this beautiful Lord's Day, my heart is so full to have the privilege of worship. Once again today, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Last Sunday we looked in verses 1 through 5 concerning faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we know that faith is a gift of the Spirit. Faith is one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit that the Lord gives to you and me as His children in the new birth of regeneration. Now, faith in and of itself is not that which saves us for heaven. Faith in and of itself is not that which allows us to overcome the challenges that we face in this world. But rather, it is the object of our faith. And Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. He is the one in whom we trust. He is the one that we have confidence in. And through Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. We are overcomers because Jesus overcame sin, death, hell, and the grave. And He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Now, the Apostle John, who wrote the three epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, as well as the Gospel of John, and I've often told you and repeated many times that he is known for the theme of the love of God. He repeatedly tells us that God is love, that we love God because He first loved us. Another theme that's repeated over and over in the writings of the Apostle John is the theme of belief. Belief in Jesus as being the Son of God. Believing who Jesus is. You may recall at the end of His Gospel, at the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 20, in the last verse of chapter 20, He said this, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." So He emphasizes the importance of believing. Now, believing in Jesus as our Messiah, believing in Jesus as for who He is, the Son of God, that does not give us eternal salvation, but rather it is an evidence that we have eternal salvation. It is the evidence that we're God's child. But now I want to look today in 1 John 5, verses 5 through 13, concerning the various witnesses that we have of who Jesus is. The witnesses to who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. And there are many witnesses to that truth. So once again, I want to start with verse 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank You now for the privilege of worship in Thy house. I thank You now that You have given us this opportunity to open Thy holy word. And we pray that Thy Spirit would open our understanding, not only in our mind, but more importantly, in our heart, that we might truly believe and understand who You are. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And in that truth and in that revelation, we realize that Jesus alone is our salvation, that you alone are our hope. Now, Father, forgive our many sins. In thy name we pray. Amen. So who is he who overcomes the challenges we face in this life, but he that believes that Jesus is the very Son of God? And so we find now, look in verse number 6 of our text. He says, this is he, this is Jesus, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, for many years, I thought it was very hard to understand what the Spirit was teaching in verse 6. What is meant by Jesus came by water and blood? Well, the more I prayed about it and studied on it and read others who have studied upon this, I've come to believe that he is speaking about the two events that started the ministry of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to be about 30 years of age, what was the very first act that he submitted himself to as he began his public ministry? He submitted himself to the ordinance of water baptism. The ordinance of water baptism. Look with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And we want to note that God the Father gave witness to Jesus when John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River, that God the Father gave witness to who Jesus is. To who Jesus is. So note this. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, or behold, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father came down in the form of the Spirit like a dove, and it lighted upon Jesus, and the Father's voice came from heaven saying, this is my Son. This is who Jesus is. He is the only begotten Son of God. Now you and I, we are the adopted sons and daughters of God. But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And we see here the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father bearing witness to His Son Jesus of who He is, that He is God manifested in the flesh. Now, John the Baptist, when he beheld Jesus, what did he say? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 29, he said, the next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so we find that he recognized through the revelation of the Spirit of God who Jesus is. And look down in verse 32 through 34 of John chapter 1. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit. He's talking about when he baptized him. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 34. And I saw, John says, and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist witnessed with his own eyes, and he bore record to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. But it says in our text that not only did he come by water only, but by water and blood. So we know for 3.5 years from the time that Jesus submitted himself to baptism, that he walked with his disciples, he taught them the things concerning the kingdom of heaven and how we are to live in this life. But we know the ultimate purpose for which he came was to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And that is where the blood bears witness to who he is. Even when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, you may remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and beginning verse number 34, I believe it is, it says this, when he was on the cross, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Blood and water. And he that saw it, that is the soldier, what did he say? He bare record, and his record is true. It's true. And he knows that he saith true, that he might believe. That he might believe. He bore record that this is the Son of God. And so he came by both water and blood. And the Spirit also bears witness to this very truth. The Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is truth. God is truth, and the Spirit is God. In verse 7 he says of our text, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Holy Trinity. See, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But the truth of the Trinity is taught throughout the Scripture. There is only one God, but He reveals Himself to men in three aspects. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've often heard it said that these three all have varying roles in our salvation. God the Father planned our salvation before the foundation of the world. He chose us in His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us to His Son in the covenant of grace. And then in the fullness of time, the Son came and He purchased our salvation. The Father planned our salvation, and the Son purchased our salvation. Then, when we're born into this world, as a child of God, at some point in our lives, the Spirit comes and He makes His abode in our heart, in the new birth. So the Spirit applies salvation to our heart and life. So there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. Now the Son is the Word of God. John says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so Jesus is the living Word of God. And then He says in verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." The Holy Spirit bore witness to who Jesus is when He was baptized, and also in all aspects of His 3.5-year earthly ministry. The Spirit of God attended the ministry of Jesus Christ in the healings and miracles that He performed, in the profound teaching that He taught His disciples. And we find that He witnessed to Him. Turn over for a moment to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning in verse 33, we see here that Jesus Himself tells us about various witnesses of Himself. The witnesses that testify of who He is. Of who He is. Jesus said in John 5:33, "You sent to John, John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth." So we're seeing that John the Baptist was a witness of who Jesus is. "But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved," or might be delivered. He, John, John the Baptist, "he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." Jesus here is talking to the Jews who were trying to kill him. Those that said in verse 18, this was after he had healed a man who had been sick for 38 years with an infirmity in the pool of Bethesda. And we find it says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, healing a man on the Sabbath day, but also that he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Those Jews understood that Jesus was claiming to be the very Son of God. And they didn't believe that that is who he is. Their eyes were blinded to the truth of who Jesus is. In verse 36 he says, in John 5, "But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist, for the works the Father gave me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." So the works that I perform, they witness of who I am. And he says in verses 37 and 38, "That the Father himself that sent me has borne witness of me." He bore witness of him when he was baptized. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then in verse 39 of John 5, Jesus says that the Word of God bears witness to who I am. When he says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me." God's Word testifies that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And so we find that to be the truth. Now, we also remember that when Jesus went on the mountain of Transfiguration, that the Father in heaven spoke out at that time as well, saying, it's in Matthew chapter 17, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Now, let's look next in verse number 9 of our text. He says, "If we receive the witness of men," and we do. You know, there were many witnesses in the New Testament that testified that Jesus is the Son of God. And we receive that witness. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God Himself is even greater than the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son, of His own Son. God testifies to who He is. And he that believes, here we come back to the gospel of believing, he that believes on the Son of God, he has the witness in himself. We have the internal witness. That internal witness is the Spirit of God. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's how Paul referred to it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He who believes on the Son of God, we have the internal witness living in our heart. But he that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of His Son. The unbeliever makes God to be a liar. It says that He's not the Son of God, that He was not the Messiah. But in believing who He is, we also today bear witness that He is the Son of God. He makes it very plain and simple in verse 12 when he says, "He that has the Son hath life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life." Very plain, very simple. If we have the Son, we have eternal life. And if we don't have the Son, we don't have eternal life. And then in verse 13, John gives us the reason that God inspired him to write this letter. What was the reason that he was inspired of the Lord to write this love letter to you and me today? And that's what it is. The Word of God is a love letter from God to His children. He says in verse 13 that there is a threefold reason. First, to whom it's written, why it's written, and the application of what we're to do. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." So there he says, this letter is written to the believer. It was not written to the unregenerate, was not written to the unbeliever. It is God's love letter to His children who believe. All right, why was it written? that you may know that you have eternal life. That goes back to having blessed assurance of knowing that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Remember he said back in chapter 3, concerning that of assurance, he said this in verse 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." And we need that assurance. How often in your life have you doubted that you are a child of God? I believe there's an old Sacred Harp song that says that I am so vile and prone to sin that sometimes I fear that I am not born again. And that's the devil instilling doubt and fear in our life. The devil tries to get us to doubt our salvation. He tries to instill in us a spirit of fear that will paralyze us and cause us to be ineffective in our walk with the Lord. But Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And then he goes on to say, finally, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And that sounds almost redundant, doesn't it? He says, I'm writing to the believer that the believer may believe. That the believer may believe. You know, I've heard it said that there are three classes of people. There are unbelievers who have not the Spirit of God, but then there are believers who do have the Spirit of God. But among those believers that have the Spirit of God, that there are believing believers and there are unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers. And I believe sometimes that we've all been guilty of being an unbelieving believer. And by that I mean that we fail to take Him at His word. We believe in Him, who He is, the very Son of God. Sometimes, though, we fail to take Him at His word and believe God. Believe what He says. Believe that He'll do what He said He would do. To believe that He'll take care of us and protect us. And so sometimes, I know I've been guilty of being an unbelieving believer. So John says, I'm writing to the believer that the believer might believe even more. Not just in Him, but believe Him. Believe Him and take Him at His word. And when we do that, he goes on to say, then we have confidence in Him. Verse 14, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us in prayer. And if we know that He hears us in prayer, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we can boldly come to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. The writer of Hebrews put it that way as we close in Hebrews chapter 4 when he said in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So there were many witnesses of who Jesus is. The Father, the Spirit, the water, the blood, John the Baptist, the works that Jesus did, the Scriptures. And we have the witness living in our heart today. And because He witnesses in our heart of who He is, we in turn then are enabled to go out and be witnesses in the world to who He is and what He has done for us in our lives. May we go boldly in that confidence is my prayer for Christ's sake.